You're listening to a message taken from a live service at Crossfire Youth Ministries and the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.
1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 through 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel. I said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. You know, we're going to see this in a moment, but a lot of people would have told Jabez, just forget it. Because there was something surrounding his birth and his life that was sorrowful and painful. But in that, Jabez called on the God of Israel. And he said this, and it wasn't just, listen, I hope you get, let these words sink into your heart tonight, because this isn't just a, Lord, I pray that you would just have mercy on me, and I'm sure he did pray that. It wasn't just, Lord, I pray that you might listen to me. He said, Lord, I'm asking you that you would bless me indeed. Bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. And that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I said, and God granted him that which he requested. I'm talking about before Calvary. God granted him that which he requested. Now I'm talking post-Calvary. God will grant you. I said, God will grant you. I said, God wants to grant you. He wants to bless you. He wants to enlarge your coast. He wants to enlarge your borders. God wants to grant you that which you have requested. You know, I'm just thinking right now of that statement that Brother Swigert likes to make all the time. Brother Donnie and Pastor Gabe, they've echoed it for many years now. God's a big God. I said, God's a big God. I said, God's a big God. I said, God's a big God. He's a king of angels. I said, he's a big God. So ask big. And I've titled this message, I almost titled it, What I Want for Christmas, but What I Want for Crossfire. What I want to see in each one of you. What I want to see in this youth ministry, what I want for Crossfire. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We honor you, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood tonight. Lord, we thank you for everything you've made available to us, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would hear this more than just a sermon, but Lord, you would hear it as a request, and that you would grant this youth ministry, grant these young people, grant each person in this room that which they've been crying to you for, Lord. We ask that you would hear this as a request tonight, and that you would grant that which we are asking. Lord, we believe you tonight. That you're able to do great and mighty things, Lord, we trust you. Lord, I ask for your anointing, for we can do nothing without it. Lord, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would give each person in this room a spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of your Son, every person that's tuning in, Lord, through the television, radio, or internet. Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son. And we will honor you and give you glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When many of you were there, some of you were not. And for those of you that were not, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. But many of you were there at the Christmas party last Saturday night. And some of you have even told me about it. But as I was praying before we ate, the very last remark that I made, and I hadn't thought about it. I just was praying for the food, and I hadn't even thought about it, but I began to ask the Lord to bless each one of you, and I closed, Lord, bless this church. and it ran all over me. It was like a shockwave that went through me. Lord, bless this church. And I'm not just talking about just Crossfire. I'm talking about Family Worship Center. We're not separated from Family Worship Center. We're one body, one unit. And I feel that in my heart. I felt it since I prayed it. And some of you even came up to me and said, man, I felt that. And I felt it too, because I believe that God wants to bless this youth ministry. I believe God wants to bless each and every one of you. I believe God wants to do things that we've been asking him to do, that we've been believing him to do. And ever since I made that statement, I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. Lord, bless. Bless. Lord, bless. Lord, bless. Bless every heart. Bless every mind. Bless every student. Bless every college student, every parent, every adult, every heart, Lord, that walks through these doors. Bless them. And bless this work. Oh, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul. God wants to bless what we're doing. God wants to bless this ministry. And he's been blessing this ministry. But he has more. He's not done yet. He hasn't finished. If he was finished, we'd be out of here. But he's got more he wants to do. So I just can't get it out of my spirit. Lord, bless. You know, sometimes sermons, they're encouraging, they're didactic, they're teaching, they're prophetic, and you'll get a lot of those things in one sermon, right? But sometimes a sermon is more than that. Sometimes it is literally worship. Sometimes it is literally prayer before the Lord. Sometimes it's more than just you telling people something, but you are, while you're telling them those things, you're asking God to do something in your spirit. You're asking God to move in situations in your life. Sometimes a sermon is more than just teaching, more than just encouraging, more than just trying to reveal the future to us. Sometimes we're pleading with God. And that's really what I feel this sermon is tonight. And I hope that you can catch my heart. I hope that you can catch my intentions. And that it will become your prayer. And that it will become your desire. And it will become what you want. I do want to challenge you tonight and ask you a question. How much do you think about Crossfire when you leave out of here? I do want to ask you that, because Crossfire is more than you sitting in the audience and us up here preaching to you. It has to be more than that. The church was never supposed to be just a performance, a reaction from the audience kind of situation. The church is all about growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and reaching the lost. That's why we're here. That's our purpose. It's why we exist. And if you look at the early church and you even look at the writings of the apostles, they wanted us to care about each other, to know what each other's going through, to be there to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, sometimes to reprove one another. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. So don't just go around rebuking people. But God wants to move corporately. So what I'm asking tonight, what I hope I can convey tonight, is that this would not just be the prayer from the pastoral staff or even from the worship leaders, but this would be the body of Crossfire. This would become our desire. When we're praying and when we're seeking the face of God, let me just stop right there for a moment. You need a prayer life. Each and every one of you, you need a prayer life. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. I don't care if it's 15 minutes. Just give God some time. And I know that after you give him some time, you're going to want more time with him. I can guarantee it. And sometimes, hear me, prayer can be difficult. It can be work. It can be laborious. And you might even wonder, I should have just stayed in bed. Why did I even get up and try to do this morning? But in those times, we learn to dig in deeper. and to cry out more. But my point is that I want this to be a part of your prayer life. Lord, bless Family Worship Center. Lord, bless Crossfire Youth Ministries. Lord, bless Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, Family Christian Academy. Lord, bless Sun Life Broadcasting Network. Lord, bless Sun Life Radio. Lord, bless the work that's coming out of here. Bless it, Lord. And enlarge our borders. Right? I'm believing this for each one of you individually, but I'm believing this for this youth ministry corporately. God bless us and enlarge our borders. So I hope that you catch my heart tonight. That you really, this is what I want for us. This is what I want to see. And I believe that this is what God wants to do. That this is what God, and I know that if we'll believe and that we'll cry out to the Lord, he's going to move in ways that we could not imagine. I know he'll do that. I know he's faithful to do that. God does not care about the circumstances that are surrounding your life. He's more concerned with your heart. You know, Jabez, his name literally means pain, sorrow. And his mother said, I call him Jabez because I bore him in sorrow. Now, there is no way to know for sure why that was his name. There's no way to know for sure what type of sorrow she was experiencing. But it's unlikely that she would have just been considering the pain of her natural birth, because this name would literally have implications on his social status for the rest of his life. A name meant a whole lot more than just, hey, that dude's name's Paris, kind of cool. You try being Paris in the age of Paris Hilton, all right? You give that a shot, all right? And you're an athlete too. So every coach you get, every coach you get, like Paris Hilton. Like, yeah, it's pretty original, dude. Never going to live this one down. Be careful what you say in front of everybody. But that name would have social implications on him for the rest of his life. So it's unlikely that she's talking about the pain of that physical birth. One thing that would have caused a mother great pain in that time period, during what we know now, they were tribal confederations. All right, so they lived as a tribe. That means the whole family, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, even the ones you wish didn't show up to Christmas, they all lived with you. Okay? You lived with them. And if you didn't have a kinsman redeemer that was willing to take on your responsibility and take on the responsibility of your children, and you lost your husband, you were in for great trouble. And that is probably, and I'm not saying it's for sure, but likely what's going on. She's a widow. Doesn't have a kinsman redeemer. Doesn't have someone that's willing to take on the responsibility of caring for her. Doesn't have someone that's willing to take on the responsibility of caring for the son that she is about to bear. And the only thing she could be thinking in her mind is probably what Hagar was thinking as she's running through the woods after Abraham kicks her out of the tribe, tells her she's got to get lost, is what am I going to do for this child? How am I going to care for this child? He's not going to have food. He's not going to have a job. He's not going to have responsibilities within the tribe. He's not going to have an inheritance to take on when he's older. He's not going to have anything. He's never going to be anything great, anything wonderful, anything spectacular. And I can imagine that her pain. I can imagine that this is why she would name him Jabez. This is how Jabez has to be raised. This is how he has to grow up. And literally tagged with the name pain, sorrow. You know, many of you and many of us right now, we are facing situations that you could just tag it, pain, sorrow. In fact, it's even becoming very descriptive of our lives. Pain, sorrow. It seems like it's one thing after another. Pain and sorrow. One tragedy after another. They can make a movie about the way your life's been going. Pain, sorrow. And just go ahead and tag another name onto it. Shame. Because not only would he have to deal with the pain and the sorrow, but the shame. You know, maybe you were born into this pain and born into this sorrow. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. Maybe it's a family situation, pain and sorrow. Maybe it is something that you caused. Pain, sorrow, shame. And we feel it, right? We haven't lived up to the standards that everybody's asked of us. We're not meeting those academic requirements that everybody is pushing us to meet. We're not meeting the athletic requirements that society is pressing on us. We don't have the right body type. We don't have the right facial structure. We don't have the right height. We don't have the right this and that. We don't have enough money to buy the nice clothes, and we don't look good, and we don't look great, and pain and sorrow and shame. You all know what I'm talking about. You've all felt it to some degree. You've all had to experience it to some degree. Pain, sorrow. Jesus came for those who were in pain and in sorrow. He came for all those who were on the social fringes of society. He came for the Samaritan. He came for the Gentile. He came for the woman with the issue of blood. I'm thinking about a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, a woman, and a woman with a young daughter who was demon possessed. She would have been on the outcast of her own nation, let alone within the people of Israel. They would have thought, oh my God, this woman's raising demon possessed children. Shame, sorrow. But that story is so phenomenal. That story is so wonderful, because despite the fact that she was a Gentile, despite the fact that she was a woman, despite the fact that she had a demon-possessed daughter, she knew that there was something inside of that Jewish miracle worker named Jesus that could do something to help her out. Something powerful, something she'd never seen before, something glorious, something wonderful, something that made her run and fall on her knees before Jesus Christ and worship at his feet. Now let's make matters worse. Jesus looks at her and basically equates her cultural and ethnic and origins as being that of the equivalent of a dog. Wild, yappy, mangy, living on the streets, begging for something, a dog. Jesus says, it's not meet for me to give food to the dog when I've got children at the table who are hungry. She said, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. All I need, Lord, is just a crumb. See, I see what you're capable of doing. I just need a crumb. You're capable of doing so much. I just need a crumb. And Jabez, shame, pain, sorrow. Me and you, shame, pain, sorrow. We don't know what to do. And we could allow that pain and we could allow that shame to dictate our lives. But the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brethren. Jabez was more honorable. His name was sorrow. His name was pain. Even his own mother said that I bear him in shame and in sorrow and in pain. But yet he was more honorable than all of his brethren. You see, there was something unique about Jabez that I want you to grab a hold of tonight. He did not allow his circumstances that he was born into. He did not allow his circumstances that he had found himself in. Maybe you weren't born into it. Maybe you just found your way there. He did not allow those circumstances to define the man that he was going to be. You do not have to allow the situations that you find yourself in. You don't have to allow the circumstances that you found yourself in to define who you are going to be.
This world is going to try to tell you, you got to be this, you got to be that, you got to be this, and you got to be that. Jesus isn't looking for a man that's this or that, the great, the wonderful, the proud, the glorious, the magnificent, the righteous. He's not looking for that. Amos said, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't even the son of a prophet. I was just keeping my father's sheep as a shepherd. I was just a shepherd. I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't the son of a prophet. Maybe you think, I'm not anything great. I'm not anything wonderful. What could God do with me? What could God possibly use me to do? I'm in shame. I'm in pain. I'm in sorrow. Forget it all. I just want to waste away and die. Jabez did not allow his situation. He did not allow his circumstances. He did not let the pain and the shame and the sorrow that surrounded his life dictate who he was going to be. I don't care who you are. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a heart. He's looking for a heart. God is looking for a heart. When Samuel went to anoint David as the king of Israel, he didn't know he was going to see David. He just knew he was going to see the next king of Israel. And he knew he was in Jesse's house. And Jesse thinking, man, I've got all these children. Let me bring in the best and the brightest and I'll set them up. I got to leave the youngster out there in the shepherd field to keep track of my sheep. Couldn't possibly be him anyway. And Jesse, and there Samuel is saying, oh, look at this one. Man, he's not, man, that's a strong looking dude. Man, look at this one. That's a good looking guy. Man, he's got to be the one. And the Lord speaks to his heart. He's not here. He turns to Jesse, you have any more children? You have any more sons? I got one. I got one. You see, he wasn't looking. God's not looking at your countenance. He's also not looking at your circumstances and your situations and say, eh, I don't think I can help that one. I don't think there's anything I can do for that one. He's looking at your heart. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you find yourself in the middle of today. He's looking for a heart that will just simply do what Jabez did. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Introduced into such an impossible situation that if we would have looked at Jabez in his life, we would have said, nothing good will come of that. But Jabez called on the God of Israel. He rises above impossibilities by calling on the name of the Lord. By calling on the God of Israel. You know, I don't know what you're dealing with today. The shame of your situation, the pain of your situation, the suffering that you're in. You know, it just dawned on me while we were sitting here in worship. I've preached on Job, then Hannah, and now Jabez. All three of which were found themselves in horrible, impossible situations. But they called on the God of Israel. I said they called on the God of Israel. I don't know. And 2020 has made it much worse. You know, I'm sitting here looking at 2020 and I'm thinking, now, Lord. Now, Lord, this is the time you've called all of us to be the church. Feel like 1970, 1980 would have been a little bit easier. Probably not. Every generation has its difficulties. But 2020... it seems like it's the most impossible time in the world for the church to be the church. And I've noticed in some church services that there is just a silence in all of us. And I think it's because we're all wondering what's happening, what's coming next. God, what are you going to do? I'm here to tell you that in the middle of our situation in 2020, we need to do what Jabez did. We need to call on the God of Israel. God doesn't always fix the situation the way that we are trying to get him to. But he's got an answer. I said he's got an answer. He has an answer. There's a story about it just came to my mind. There's a story about a chess game that had been placed in a museum. And this chess game, to everybody's knowledge, it was completed. It was finished. The game was over. And I think it was between God and Satan, or a man and Satan, something like that. Does anybody know this? I think that's what it is. A man and Satan. And Satan won. And people who were great at chess had come and they had searched the board looking for just one more move. And there just happened to be this chess champion who was traveling through that area. And he had heard about this photo and he wanted to go examine it for himself. Nobody had been able to find another move. So he goes and he's standing in front of this picture and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and he noticed the king still has one more move. The king still has one more move. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it will happen, but this I do know. The king, he has one more move. God is not done yet. Jesus Christ is not through yet. The king, he has one more move. And he's getting ready to move in this generation. And I'm asking myself, God, how can you do it? Lord, what are you going to do? How will this get done? And this is what the Lord is telling me to pray. This is what the Lord is telling us to pray. This is what the Lord is telling us to ask him to do. Do you know that you have a God? First and foremost, you have access to the throne of God. Do you know what you have access to tonight? Jesus Christ came and he paved the way. He entered in before us into the Holy of Holies and he carved a path through his broken body and his precious blood. And he said, any man who desires to come may come through my blood. Any man who desires to come may come through my flesh, which is the veil. Anyone who desires to come can come. And you can access the very throne of God, what we were singing about. Angels and saints gathered around his throne, crying worthy. You as a believer, you have access to that. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, that's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You as a believer have access to the throne of God. The throne of God. Not the White House. Not the king's house, not the queen's house. You have access to the king's house. You have access to the throne of God. You can approach God in the name of Jesus. Oh, man. I wish we knew what we had. Let me read it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. You have access to the throne of God. You know, I'm not asking you to shout or jump or run, but man, I hope you feel it like I feel it. You have access to the throne of God. Secondly, you have a God in heaven who wants to bless you. Oh, bless me indeed. You have a God in heaven who wants to bless you. He already did it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Oh, come on. I said he has blessed us. What did he bless you with? Your sins have been forgiven. If you've called on the name of Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, and by faith you've accepted the redemption plan of God, your sins are forgiven. Wiped away, thrown, cast away as far as the east is from the west. You've been given the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. God lives in you. Oh, bless me indeed, Lord. He's blessed you already. And my cry tonight, Lord, bless Crossfire Youth Ministries. Lord, bless each person in this room. Lord, bless them indeed. Lord, open up their eyes, Lord, and let them see what you've given them. Let me see it. Lord, open up my eyes. Lord, draw us to you. Bless us indeed. What do I want God to bless us with? His Spirit. Oh, I want him to bless us with his Spirit. Every time we walk in these doors, every time we set up to sing, every time we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've got to have the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. We've got nothing if we don't have that. Lord, bless us. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless us with the anointing. Bless us with conviction. Lord, bless us with the moving of your Spirit. Lord, bless us with sinners being saved. Lord, bless us with people coming to an understanding of what you've done for them at Calvary. Lord, fill any empty heart. Lord, open up blinded eyes. Lord, let the captive go. Lord, bless us. Heal those who are wounded. Lord, bless us and enlarge our borders. Now, me and Gabe were joking about this earlier today, and I know I need to quit. But Gabe has felt this in his spirit for a long time now. The Tucker Building was built for Crossfire. Not just to sit there. And I believe God wants to give it back. And I believe God, not just to give it back to have a building or to just give us numbers to have numbers, but to give us souls, to give us a harvest. Lord, enlarge our borders. That must be the cry of your heart. That must be the cry of my heart. Lord, give me a soul to reach today. Listen, it's not going to get done unless this becomes us, unless we realize why we're really here. You're not here to just have a great job, have a family, and live in a house and drive a car and then die one day. You're here because Jesus wants to use you. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When you got saved, you were ready to go to heaven. If you're still here, there's a reason why. He's not done yet. The King, he's got one more move. We got to let him use us. We got to get past just thinking about ourselves. Well, what if I get embarrassed? Or what if they don't say yes? Or what if I don't know what to say? Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Lord, just tell them Jesus loves them. Just mention his name, because the power is not in your presentation. It's in that name. Tell them. Please live right. But we got to tell them. We have to tell them. Jesus loves them, and he died for them, and he wants to save them. Lord, enlarge. Lord, enlarge. Lord, enlarge. Lord, enlarge. That should be your prayer, and that is our prayer. Lord, enlarge. And let your hand be with me. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have got to have it. We can do nothing without his Spirit. We have to have the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. Singers and musicians, you can come back. And deliver us from evil. Listen, when you begin to do what God's called you to do, and let me tell you something, every one of you are here. Listen, you're going to have jobs. You're going to have callings, right? And you're going to have responsibilities to do, right, every day. But you're all called to be soul winners. You're all called to make disciples. You're all called to, listen, when the church began to spread in a large way to the Gentiles, it wasn't Peter, James, and John. It was certain men of Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't know their names, but certain men of Cyprus and Cyrene, as they were on the run from persecution that began over Stephen, they begin to tell people about Jesus. We got to tell people about Jesus. We got to tell them. This is all of our responsibility, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And when we begin to do that, the evil one also has a plan. He will do anything he can to stop the work of God. But we include in our prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, deliver us from every evil scheme of the evil one, from every plan of the enemy, that it might not grieve us. And this is the best part. And God granted it to Jabez as he had requested. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know the particulars of your situation. But you're asking God for something. You need clarity. You know, sometimes we're on a path that everyone expects us to be on, and it's just not working out like we think it should. Well, it could be that we're not on the path we're supposed to be on. Don't let people dictate to you what path you're on. You hear from God what path to take. You hear from God the path to take. Because on that path, there is the answer, the blessing, the enlargement, the deliverance from evil. The hand of God was on this man who was tagged with pain and sorrow. Stand to your feet tonight. I don't know what they feel led to sing tonight, but I want to open these altars. And I want us all to come and gather around these altars. I want you to come and I want you to believe God for your needs specifically. But as we go into the final weeks of 2020, not knowing exactly what's in store for 2021, I want us praying what Jabez prayed. Lord, bless me indeed. Lord, enlarge my borders. Let your hand be with me. Deliver me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And let's believe that for Crossfire Youth Ministries. As they sing, why don't you make your ways down to these altars tonight? And let's believe God. Just worship him tonight. Just worship him tonight. Let's pray for each other tonight. Let's pray for our individual needs. And let's believe God that in 2021, he's going to move in this youth ministry like we've never seen before. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word does not lie and it will not return void. I lift up every person in this room. I don't know what they're dealing with, Lord. I don't know the particulars of their circumstances. Lord, I don't know what they need, but bless them indeed, Lord. If they need a healing touch, bless them indeed. If they need financial provision, bless them indeed. If they need peace in their heart, bless them indeed. If they need clarity of mind and direction, Lord, bless them indeed. And bless this youth ministry, Lord. Bless Family Worship Center. Bless SBN. JSBC and FCA, Lord, and enlarge our borders. God, let your hand be with us, Lord. We're asking you for a great harvest of souls. Lord, a great harvest of souls. We claim the city of Baton Rouge. We claim the city of Baton Rouge. We claim this generation. Lord, the enemy has tried to steal this generation. But you have come to seek and to save those who were lost. And I'm asking you to do it tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's Crossfire program. And as I mentioned before, I pray that this program was a blessing. If you have any prayer requests, any needs, or any testimonies, you can see the Crossfire email address right there at the bottom of the screen. Feel free to send in your emails just to let us know what the Lord has done in your heart and in your life. Thank you for being with us. Don't miss another Crossfire program, and you need to tell others about Crossfire Youth Ministries. We love you. God bless you.